Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the Opel Commercial Vehicles range. We have your van.
As you heard there from Brian, new restrictions are set to come into place in Northern Ireland following a meeting of the Assembly this morning to tackle the spread of COVID-19. The schools in the north closed for 2 weeks with an extended half-term break. The hospitality sector will be closed apart from takeaways and off-licences, and supermarkets will not be permitted to sell alcohol after 8 o'clock. Well, to talk about all of this and how it might impact us, Professor Luke O'Neill from the School of Biochemistry and Immunology in Trinity College Dublin is on the line. Good morning, Luke.
Good morning, Claire.
So what do you expect the impact of all of that will be here in the Republic?
Well, that's the big question. It was inevitable, by the way, Claire, we think, because that the North had the highest growth rate in the world for a while there in case numbers, and that was a massive concern, obviously. I think the big impact for us will be the border counties, obviously, because it's pretty porous, and there's a worry, of course, in Donegal, as we know. So that's the first thing to mention. And then the second thing is, we'll be heading that direction. If we don't get our numbers down, we will head in the same direction, sadly. So that's the big concern.
Yeah, and the schools will be a huge issue if that needs to happen here, if there's a tightening of restrictions. And we heard the ministers just before the news there saying that that's the last thing they want to see happen. But do you think that we will have a new recommendation from NPHET after they meet tomorrow? Do you expect that to happen?
It wouldn't surprise me. Our numbers aren't as bad, remember. We're kind of mid-table is the famous phrase we're all using now in Western Europe. So we're not doing too badly, but it's in the wrong direction still. They've got to control these numbers is the key thing. I think one reason, Claire, why the schools are closing in the north, Arlene Foster, we just heard her, is to shock people into changing their behaviour. In other words, it illustrates how serious this is as well, remember, and how people need to observe the usual distancing and all the guidelines, I guess.
Yeah, it's interesting that you raise that, because I know you were writing at the weekend about social cohesion and public buy-in, and that if you look at that measure, closing the schools, being used as a weapon, if you like, or as a way to convince people how serious this is, maybe that's something we need here too. Would you agree?
The only weapon we have at the moment against this virus is social cohesion. We didn't beat it by test, trace, isolate, as we all know. Sadly, we could have, but that hasn't happened. All we have is cohesion. People have to do this together, have to observe all the guidelines and do our best, you know.
You sounded annoyed in that piece you wrote at the weekend about what had happened with NPHET and the Taoiseach.
I did, because uppermost in the government's mind has to be this cohesion thing. Any dissent, any bickering among the parents, there will be a percent of people will say, oh, to hell with this, I'm not going to follow these guidelines, you know. So the number one thing in the government's mind, and the Minister for Health and the Taoiseach, has to be get the messaging straight, you know. Make sure we're all in this together. Any kind of fighting or dissent is really bad, especially with NPHET doing their best, remember. My preference, Claire, would have been the government should have said, maybe on Tuesday, thank you very much, NPHET, we hear you loud and clear, but sadly we can't do what you're asking for the following reasons. And NPHET would have said yes, you know, that's fair enough.
Yeah, and your line, my apologies to listeners, isn't great, but we'll try and keep going. And you were particularly annoyed at what Leo Varadkar said when he suggested that nobody on NPHET had been on the pandemic unemployment payment and understood the impact that this would have.
Yeah, I call it a low ball, it was our phrase. That, I mean, what if you invert that and say the following? Let's say they were at risk of PUP. Would they not have made the recommendation and not cared about the health of people, you know? That was an unfortunate phrase, I felt there.
Yeah, Dr. Holohan had warned of over 2,000 cases a day, close to, I think he said 2,300, by the 7th of November, which is really fast approaching now. Do you think, given what's happened with the numbers in recent days and weeks, that that is where we're heading?
I think it's maybe coming under control. Dublin was looking better. Dublin seemed to be doing better. And let's hope to God the numbers don't go up is the idea. As long as we just, as we've just said, observe the guidelines, we'll keep the numbers under control, hopefully.
Now, just on the vaccine side of things, which is your area of expertise, Luke, you were particularly interested in what Johnson & Johnson were doing. Our hearts all drop when we hear that that trial has been suspended, but you would expect that to happen. This is a normal occurrence.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's always pauses in trials. It's very common, because if you take 1,000 people off the street and measure them for 3 weeks, some will begin to get a bit sick anyway, you know. So you're expecting to see untoward effects. Of course, it's very good in a way it's happened, because it means the safety protocols are in place, you see. But nothing to worry about for the moment with this pause. The prediction is it'll restart, you know.
And what is the latest news on the vaccine trials, not just with Johnson & Johnson, but with the other companies, all of them in this race to find something that's going to work?
Yes, striking. It's still the most amazing adventure in medical history. 11 vaccines now are at this phase three stage of the whole process. Barclays Investment Bank, I just noticed, mind you, said yesterday they're projecting 8 vaccines will get approved in the coming months. So that's how confident they are, you know. And you have to say it's going very well. Nothing untoward has happened. There will be pauses here and there, but so far, so good.
Okay, and 8 vaccines then are heading in the right direction. And what can we read into the fact that Barclays is saying we'll have 8 vaccines in the coming months? I mean, do you think that timeline is realistic?
Well, maybe they're glass half full. I don't know. But certainly the evidence would be the phase two trials were good. So in other words, those fences were jumped, right? And that was a good sign. And now it's full steam ahead, literally as we speak. And 3 of them, they're saying, may read out in December. So we get the results from those trials in December. Now, can you imagine, Claire, just before Christmas, if a headline says vaccine X is showing promise, that'll lift us all, won't it?
It certainly would.
So there's that sense of optimism there. Now, again, caution must prevail because sometimes vaccines fall over for various reasons. But good God, there's a race now and everybody's, you know, pushing ahead.
Yeah, and in normal circumstances, these vaccines take a very, very long time, don't they?
They do. The fastest vaccine in history took 4 years to develop. That was for mumps. We always use that as an example. This virus only was discovered back in January, you see. But nobody should be worried they're rushing it. They're using every possible safety measure, every kind of caution with these, as we're seeing from these pauses, you know. So everything's been done right. I wouldn't be worried about that it's being rushed.
And what are you hearing about the virus itself? Because we were talking to a GP at the start of the week who said, while we've had a huge number of cases, this was in Donegal, we haven't had as many hospitalizations as we have in the past. And they said they were scratching their heads a little bit because the age profile was moving up. Are you hearing about any mutations or changes?
No, there's no change as yet, we think. But remember, people are picking up lower doses of the virus. If you're older and you're being careful, you might get infected, but the dose is much lower. Because you're wearing a mask and you're observing distancing, you see. Low dose is good. It means your immune system works a bit and you won't get as sick, you see. So there's one reason why there's less hospitalizations anyway.
Okay.
And the second is the younger people. But I think it's the dose of virus is all important here.
So those of us who were infected early on in this in February, March, April, we got a slam dunk and that's not what's happening now.
Precisely. You probably picked up a big dose, basically. If you're in a pub in Dublin, you know, someone shouting at you back in March.
Yeah, or sneezing in your face, yeah.
Exactly. Big dose going into your body and your immune system had trouble then and they got a foothold, you know. So I'm sure that's one of the reasons why we're seeing less hospitalisation, which is a very good sign, by the way, isn't it? It's fantastic.
Yeah.
There is less hospitalisation.
But we are learning so much about long COVID, aren't we?
We are. Now, that's a concern. The two concerns we have at the moment are as follows. One is long COVID. How common is that? We still don't fully know how common it is. The good news there, Claire, is if you treat early, you will prevent that. So as soon as someone's in hospital now, they're being given treatments that should prevent long COVID, we hope, is the first thing. The second big unknown is, can you get reinfected? And sadly, there is evidence now growing that reinfection is a possibility.
I saw this. This is terrible news.
Well, I wouldn't, again, as an immunologist, I wouldn't worry because you see this. It's like what we call a normal distribution. There's a good phrase here. Some people will be reinfected, some won't. Most are in the middle. They might get reinfected, but it'll be less troublesome for them. You know, it's the important thing, I suppose, less severe. And that's a good thing.
Well, I remember you telling me before that your antibodies may die away, but your T cells will respond if the virus comes at you again. So where does that stand now if reinfection is possible?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So there should be some immunity. I mean, this is how the immune system is supposed to work. You know, you get protected. But with coronaviruses, like the common cold, people do get reinfected. But they will have milder disease next time, which is good, obviously. So there's a bit of, you know, built-in protection. They won't be as severe. But the truth is, you will see reinfections. They should, on average, be much milder, which is good. But the worry then would be they'll still be infectious, you see. And that's why we need the vaccine.
The vaccine
will stop all that.
So you might get a milder dose, but you could still be spreading it.
Yeah, exactly. That's why this notion of going for herd immunity is unacceptable to immunologists, because it'll just burn away forever at a low level in the community anyway, you know. So we can't really have that as a strategy. The only way out is a vaccine, really.
Luke, we'll leave it there, but it's great to talk to you. That's Professor Luke O'Neill. Let's take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.